I'm Paul Ingalls, sitting in for Suzanne Kreider this time on Peace Talks. I had lunch with a friend recently who said she wasn't sure her current relationship was going to work out. Her partner, she said, tended to be more focused on external logistics and activities. She, meantime, was more interested in an inner landscape of thoughts and feelings, a place her partner didn't really want to go. That's a relationship conflict, a conflict that this couple would either resolve and stay together through, or it might be the conflict that would lead to the end of the relationship. We have lots of relationships in our lives, each presenting unique challenges in conflict resolution. Today on Peace Talks, we'll be focusing on dating, partnering, and marriage relationships. It's a huge and timeless topic that gets plenty of attention in popular media, but we didn't want to ignore it on Peace Talks just because it was so big and otherwise covered. We won't unlock all the mysteries of relationships in just a half hour, but we hope to get a fresh take on it today in a conversation with Jackie Woods, a life teacher, author, and founder of the Adewahi Institute in Columbus, North Carolina, a healing center where we're taping our program today. Jackie, hello.
Hello, Paul.
Tell us a little bit about why this is an important topic to you and perhaps why our listeners should pay close attention to the next half hour.
As a life teacher, my job is to help people grow to become all that they can become. Now, that's fine if both people in a relationship are growing equally, but balance is a key factor in either having peace in your relationship or having conflict. So we have to learn how to deal with growth, one growing more quickly than the other, oftentimes, or even when they're growing together, growth is change. A relationship that goes stagnant is in real trouble. Growing relationships, however, have to stay in balance while they're growing at uneven rates, oftentimes, because it's rare for two people to grow at exactly the same rate. So balance is a key to peace, as far as I can tell. Part of what that entails is recognizing that a relationship has three spaces. There's your space, there's my space, and there's our space. And because it has three spaces, you can balance between these three. So if, for instance, at any one point I may bring, say, more patience with the children than you have with the children, but what about our relationship? What does that mean in our third relationship space? So if I have grown in the energy of patience, maybe you can offer to the children something else that I'm smaller in. You might offer them more play than I have. You might offer them more organization. I might give them the gift of focus. There's different gifts that we bring, and it is in realizing these differences that we begin to understand balance.
So what I hear you saying in this example that you've used about patience is that it's not necessarily about trying to change the other partner and pull them to a space that you're able to get to in the patience category in this case. But I think a lot of people in relationships do start with this idea. They might even lay down an ultimatum. You're just going to have to be more patient, and you're going to have to learn more patience. So what about that dynamic?
Well, that dynamic happens when we expect the other person to be like us and us to be like them, for us to have sameness instead of balance. And it's not about sameness. No two people are the same. They don't grow the same. They don't come to the relationship with the same beginning points.
Let's talk about the beginnings of a relationship and people who want relationships. They'll go to a dating service. Modern society seems to like to sell a life of ease being attainable and that you can have a relationship. You tell us about you and we'll find you the perfect match, as if that means that there will be no conflict. So is it possible to choose a relationship that will have less conflict, in your opinion? And if so, how might you move toward that?
I think to choose a relationship that will have less conflict is to choose someone who is willing to grow. conflict arises when we have married our fantasy of who we want that person to be, and we've made ourselves believe it. And that's what a lot of people do, and they call that being in love, when in fact they really don't even know the person. They just have imposed a fantasy on them. When you really get to know a person and you can understand, going back to my example, the balance of them having some qualities that you don't have and you have some, but the relationship comes together where we meet in the middle. When you can understand that, then there are a number of people that would be a good relationship. Now, you don't want somebody that has a value system that's entirely different than yours. That's just asking for trouble to begin with. But if you have someone who you find has common interests with you, who is growing, who has a compatible belief system, then at that point you can begin to work on the relationship as a third entity rather than letting it become you or them.
And the sum of that then is, the sum has some value in that values that you don't share with someone else or traits that they would show that you don't have are things that essentially can expose you to something outside of yourself. Is that right?
Yes. I feel like a relationship that is used correctly can help us expand and grow quicker than any other thing in our life. If we can learn to cover their qualities, in other words, to accept their qualities as something that's not part of us but expands us in the relationship, then we've grown. So having someone that's just like you could get to be really boring and not very growthful.
You write that to get the greatest joy possible, you must go through stress. So does this mean that if there isn't any stress, if things are apparently smooth, that a couple is missing the greatest joy?
Well, life is about change, and change is stressful. So there's varying degrees of stress, but I would say if the relationship has no stress, that someone is in denial of what they're really feeling. I'm not saying that you have to create stress all the time to have a good relationship, but I think just living life has its moments of stress, and the relationship needs to learn how to go through those.
Can you talk a little bit about getting comfortable with the idea of conflict? This seems like a really hard one for folks.
It is. It's very difficult. And I've often said that if a couple can't fight in a healthy way, I mean, there's bad fighting, but if they can't fight in a healthy way, they really can't be happy together. Because the way I see, quote, fighting, and it's not the way most people see it, is conflict resolution. It is learning how to say, okay, you have a different opinion on this, or you have a different feeling than I do, and so how do we come to that third space in the middle and have a relationship around this? And sometimes that requires that I have to take some piece back and claim it for myself. An example of that would be, let's say the man doesn't have a lot of completion energy. He leaves his things out. He doesn't close the closet door. He doesn't take his dishes to the sink. Well, the wife has a lot of completion and a lot of order, and she wants those things. She wants those pieces in her relationship. So they're frustrating to her, and they come up, and they may come up several times. But what she has to realize is that her piece, her quality of completion is greater in size than his. So the completion in the relationship can't be as big as hers. She can have more completion than he has, but the relationship can't have her total size because he can't bring that much. So she has to do perhaps like I did with a son who insisted on leaving wet towels and never could hang one up in the bathroom. He would leave them on the floor always. Finally, I had to say, okay, I have reminded him, I have asked him, I can't deny him the use of the bathroom, so I'm going to have to take responsibility for this need that I have myself in having a neat bathroom and take care of the towels. I don't believe in caretaking people when they can do it, but this was something that he just didn't seem to be able to do at his age. And so that was something I took over as something that I needed for me.
In an adult relationship, though, how do you define that line of asking for change and hoping to get some movement?
I think you should always ask. That gives the person the opportunity to grow. But sometimes they can't or aren't willing. And at that point, you have to take it beyond the request to taking action on how you're going to take care of it for yourself.
If someone is looking for a relationship, what kind of work would you recommend that they do to put themselves in a place to choose wisely, A, and then be in a comfortable space to make a relationship work?
I would have people make a list of what they want, and then I would have them examine that list to see if they have those qualities. We think we do, but oftentimes what we're looking for, say if a person wants unconditional love, they may be a very critical person themselves, and they're going to have to claim that quality for themselves before they can attract it to themselves. And once we've claimed it and have it, we don't really need it outside, but it's when we don't really need it from somebody else that we get it from somebody else.
Just to clarify, you say make a list of what we need and then ask yourself if you have that to begin with.
Right. And start giving it to yourself. Then the neediness goes away, because one of the main culprits of a relationship is to come in with all your neediness and expect that other person to meet all your needs. That happens more than any of us would like to admit. Even those of us who've worked on relationship for a while, that will come up periodically. You see that needy part. I need for you to give this to me. I need for you to be this for me.
As you've suggested, the stress and conflict is inevitable in relationships, even in a healthy relationship, a part of a healthy relationship. But depending on people's temperament, aggravation, even anger can come up. What ideas do you have about dealing with the anger when it gets to a hot point?
It needs to be defined ahead of time how you're going to handle those hot points. For me, for a long time, my husband absolutely couldn't handle it when I would get very angry. So I would say, I'm very angry, I need to take a walk. And I would take a walk. That was a way for me to internally get in touch with it and release some of it so that I could come back and talk about the issue rather than just dump all my anger on him. That was defined ahead of time. And if I would forget, he would remind me. So you can't just wait till the moment of and then do whatever your pattern of dealing with it has always been. You've got to, again, define for the relationship what works for both people. So there's no one answer. Some people can yell and scream at each other and get it all out, and they're very cool with that. Other people can't. So you need to know how the two of you can deal with one person or both people's anger. And it may be defined differently. For if one is angry, it may be defined differently in handling that anger than if both people are angry. So there is no one answer, but it does need to be defined ahead of time.
Any tips for the partner who's not angry about how to not let that activate something in themselves so that it turns into a shouting match?
The way anger is presented can help. You know, I preface what I say is, you know, this situation made me really angry, but I recognize this anger is mine. And that makes it easier for the person to listen to me in that I need to talk about it, I need to get it out, but I know it's mine. I'm not blaming somebody. I'm not accusing somebody. I'm owning that it's my anger.
And then there's a tendency, too, in couples to try to fix it, one trying to change the mood, maybe not the most appropriate thing to do.
That's deadly for them to try to fix it. But that is common. That's very common. If they try to fix my anger and appease it and make everything smooth again, I don't get a chance to go all the way through the anger. So you can be guaranteed it's going to come up again. It doesn't get to be healed. It just gets to be pushed aside for a little while.
You're listening to Peace Talks, the series spotlighting peacemakers and nonviolent solutions to conflict. Today, a bit about how to address conflicts that make our dating, partnering, and marriage relationships challenging, whether they be opposite sex relationships or even same-sex relationships. We're talking with Jackie Woods, who is a life teacher and founder of the Adawahi Institute in Columbus, North Carolina, where you make available a lot of resources for people who are dealing with these issues, don't you?
Yes. I have books, I have CDs, I have tapes that help people to deal with the various issues that come up in relationships.
We'll talk about that in more detail toward the end of the program, but it's all at jackiewoods.org. Can you tell us a little bit about how you use the web to reach people who can't get to Columbus?
We have found that personal growth is so essential for relationship that we started doing internet classes to teach people how to be aware and to recognize and to get rid of patterns that no longer fit who they are. And when we get stuck in our neediness, it's because we're stuck in a pattern. We haven't been able to go to the resource that's deep within us that would meet that need. So in dealing with relationship, we feel personal growth is essential. And, of course, we're not the only way to have that, but we are one way. And we have internet classes that help people with that.
Is there anything, in your view, unique about committed same-sex relationships that changes the kinds of conflicts that arise or the best ways to address them?
You know, I don't really see that they're that different. And I have worked with several same-sex relationships. And, you know, they bring their patterns and they have a tendency to impose their needs just the same as anybody else. I mean, we're people. I think they have sometimes more difficult time in dealing with the pressures from society that adds another stress.
Can we talk about some typical conflict scenarios or areas that come up in relationships? And the first one that I think of is intimacy and sexual relationships. And I'm not sure that they're the same thing.
No, they're not the same thing.
All right, you're saying they're not the same thing. Tell me more about that.
Intimacy is being able to be vulnerable with your partner, to be able to be different than their expectations and to feel safe in that. Hopefully we bring that intimacy to the sexuality of our relationship. Oftentimes they're separate categories, and I think that's sad. But a lot of people can have sex and have a good sex life and not have intimacy. But bringing intimacy to your sexuality adds a dimension to it, I believe, that makes it more rich.
Do you have some thoughts about how people can work through conflicts over their sexuality, some general ideas?
Well, I've dealt with a lot of particularly women who have been sexually abused in their growing up, and there's tremendous scars and wounds in there from that. And they need to have a very understanding partner to help them get through those. If they don't get through those, they either shy away from sex or they use it as a control because they were controlled by it. And they need a lot of support and understanding in getting through those issues. I prefer that people look, not just talk about what they like in sex. That's what talking about it usually ends up being. But that they talk about how they are in sex, who they are in their sexuality, what parts of themselves do they bring to the sex act. And get away from it being a performance, but a sharing and an exchange. You know, it's not about the feel good. We got to get beyond the feel good, the performance to make everybody feel good, to see it as sharing of this is what I bring of who I am and this is what you bring and how do we share that.
What about money problems in relationships?
We usually have a lot of attachment to how we spend our money. It represents freedom to a lot of people. It represents security for a lot of people. It represents big things. Usually you're going to have one person that is more conservative, and for those people, usually money represents security. And then you're going to have somebody who sees it as freedom and they want to spend more. Again, you have to say, okay, this much of me I have to keep in my space instead of expecting your partner to be as you are or the opposite of you, either one. It can be handled in a lot of different ways. You know, sometimes people need to have separate accounts in one joint account, or sometimes they can manage it all together. You have to say, okay, I'm very conservative. I need my own checking account so that I can have this money and not think that it's going to be gone when I need it. And the other person says, okay, well, I may keep mine at zero most of the time, but I need to have the freedom to spend it when I want to.
What about jealousy, opposite sex relationships outside a marriage or committed relationship, or in the case of a same-sex relationship, same-sex relationships outside of the primary relationship?
Well, again, I've known of couples that have defined that they would have relationships, sexual relationships, or even emotional relationships outside of their primary relationships. But I have never known them to be too successful. And I'm not saying they can't be. I'm just saying that in my experience, I haven't found them to be too successful, because it breaks down a certain, that intimacy of being vulnerable. It tends to break down because if this relationship has things that you don't have in this relationship, then you don't want to really talk about them because they're satisfied. You know, so you don't keep the relationship dynamic growing, continually redefining, because you have another source. However, I do believe that a relationship should not be everything, that you do need friendships, you do need interactions. But when it comes to the sexual, deep emotional bonding, I think there needs to be a primary. And that's just my personal, and it certainly doesn't hold true for everybody, but that's just been my personal experience with people.
There are things that we can't expect to be fulfilled with each other. For example, I mean, if I really like to talk about
politics.
Okay, if I like to talk about politics and my partner is not really into it, and I have an opposite sex partner who I enjoy going to have lunch with, you know, and doing that. And I suppose one of my question is that if you have that, do you have any ideas about how the primary relationship can deal with that or accept that?
What I oftentimes, and I do highly encourage people to have other relationships, what I encourage people to do is to not keep it a secret or hidden from the main relationship. They can come back and say, well, I had lunch with, and we talked about. To how much detail you go depends on how bored the other person is with that topic. But, you know, give the outline of this is what happened. So it's not this secret hidden thing, but is openness and honesty are extremely important.
Some of our listeners have undoubtedly chosen the single life, no intimate or committed relationship. And you talk convincingly about the joy a relationship can bring. Can singles replace that joy with something unique and special themselves?
Oh, definitely. Many times people need to have a space in their life where they just learn to be with themselves, to be comfortable with their own company, to get to know themselves. And some people do that well with another person, and other people need to do it alone, depending upon the makeup of the person. I myself was married for a while and got a divorce and had several years of being alone and loved it. Didn't want to remarry. I enjoyed the deep inner looking that I had the opportunity to do. And I enjoyed I had lots of relationships, lots of friends, interactions with people. So that need for interaction was met. And I enjoyed the freedom of being able to define my own life, because I had never had an opportunity to do that. It was defined very strictly for me when I was growing up, and then it was defined in the marriage, and I needed to learn how to define my life for me. And then when I did remarry, I found that I brought more value than I had the first time. There was more of me to bring. There was more understanding of how I needed to define things in my life. An example of how pathetic I was to begin with is that if somebody asked me if I wanted to go out and eat, I would say, well, sure. Well, where do you want to go? I don't care. Do you want to go to a movie? Well, sure. Well, what kind do you like? I don't know. Any of them. I didn't have preferences because I had not defined me well enough. And now I have preferences. And that doesn't make it more difficult for me to be in relationship. That makes it easier.
So where would you like to go to eat then?
I actually am very, very fond of Chinese.
So, Jackie Woods, if you had a minute to sum up on this topic, you know, what would you like to get across to them as a way to help folks that may have just tuned in to catch up with us?
I think I would say to people, throw out your definition of the ideal relationship. Just throw it out. And in throwing it out, you're giving up a lot of your attachments as how it should be. So you're given, that gives you the freedom to explore how it really is.
Jackie, how can people find out more about the Adewahi Institute or your tools for living? And first of all, Adewahi, what is the origin of that word?
It's a Cherokee word that means the spirit of healing. And we're on Cherokee land here, and we're a healing center. I can be reached at JackieWoods.org. I have CDs on anger management. I have relationship tapes. I have intimacy tapes. I have a book on Journey to Ultimate Spirituality, which is about your personal growth path of giving up patterns. We have available the internet classes that help people on their individual growth path that helps them then in relationship. The website also has several articles that are written by me and other people. Many of those concern relationship. There is a free newsletter talking about these qualities of character, or we call them heart qualities or qualities of spirit, that make up who the person is.
Our thanks to Jackie Woods for being our guest on today's show. You can hear this program again, as well as all the programs in the Peace Talks series, online at peacetalksradio.com. You can also give us feedback on our shows and learn more about how you can support our program on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. One way you can help in the next few days is to join us at our first Concert for Peace Talks, a benefit featuring three marvelous singer-songwriters, Bill Miller, Tish Hinojosa, and Mary Gaucher, a multicultural music celebration at Albuquerque's Chemo Theater, Sunday night, December 5th at 7 o'clock. Ticket information from Ticketmaster.com or by calling 883-7800 or at the Chemo box office. The artists are graciously donating their time. I invite you to do your part Sunday, December 5th, to keep this space for talk of peace right here on your radio. For Suzanne Kreider, I'm Paul Ingalls. Thanks so much for listening.